You may be seated. Today we read from 2 Kings 10, verses 15 and 16. When he left there, he met Jehonadab, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He greeted him and said, "Is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours?" Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand. Jehu took him up with him into the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he had him ride in his chariot. The word of God for the people of God.
And will you pray with me today? God, as we come once again to explore our faith, our scripture, and John Wesley's theology, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts here today would be acceptable to you. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of this series. I have to tell you, this has to be my favorite of John Wesley's sermons. And I know you all have your favorites out there too. You probably have it written down someplace, right? Or maybe you've never read a John Wesley sermon because you didn't have to, like Wesley and I did. But this is my favorite, the one, and I know that because it's the one I quote the most often, that it has some just great nuggets in there. But I also think it connects to my personality. You know, the annual conference, we have different tools that as we go through different training. One are these personality tests. There's one called PCM, or the Process Communication Model. And many of our clergy and a lot of times staffs have gone through that to kind of see, what is your personality? What is it that drives you? What is it that you lean into when you're making decisions? And so I've taken that before, and this may surprise you. Mine is harmonizer. That's my base personality. That's what I lean into whenever I run into things. And this is really a sermon for the harmonizers. And, you know, another way to describe a harmonizer, we just avoid conflict. That's what we do. So it's a good thing there's never any conflict in the church, because it's a great place for harmonizers. But that's really what this sermon is about. It's about unity and harmony and how do we live together. And, you know, Wesley's sermon is called The Catholic Spirit, and it's about unity. And he begins by saying, God has given us this royal law, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And at the end of the sermon, he actually gives us a definition of what he means by the Catholic Spirit. And by the way, it has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. It's Catholic in the terms of church universal, that connection to people from all different denominations, all different places in the world. And so it's here's his definition he puts in his sermon. He says, the believers who have a Catholic spirit are steadily fixed in their religious principles, in what they believe to be the truth as it is in Jesus, yet their heart is enlarged toward all humankind, both those they know and those they do not know. They embrace with strong and cordial affection neighbors and strangers, friends and enemies. I just think that's a beautiful statement that he makes, because he says we have these religious principles. We have this seeking after truth and understanding that through Jesus. However, we also have these enlarged hearts that embrace people, that embrace that and love all. What he's really trying to say is that we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, Wesley goes on to quote many places in Scripture where we're called to love our neighbor because God is love. And then he says, I think, what is the key line in the entire sermon. He says, all Christians approve of this, but all do not practice it. Now, I might argue with him that maybe not all Christians approve of this, but we won't get into that because it's the second part that really stands out. But not all people of faith practice this. And he says that there's two reasons for that. He calls them the two great hindrances. The first is, we don't all think alike. And the second, we don't all walk alike. Isn't that true? That we are different in how we think on so many different things, and we don't all practice our faith in the exact same way. That there's differences among us, and yet he finishes by saying, though we cannot think alike, and may we not love alike, may we not be of one heart if we are not of one opinion, with all doubts we may. And at this point, Wesley starts quoting the scripture that we read today. And you may have noticed, we just had two verses from 2 Kings that we read, which is typical of Wesley in his sermons. Most of his sermons, he has one or two verses that he kind of focuses on. And I think there's a reason that Wesley just focused on these two verses, because if you put it in the context of the larger passage, well, it doesn't really make his point like he would want it to. That's what we as pastors do sometimes, is that we find those verses that make the point we want, we ignore whatever else is around it. And Wesley was great at that, but he also admits that. He admits it right in the sermon. He says that Jehu, which is the king that was at the center of this story, is a person of mixed character. I love that in the book. He's saying, yeah, he had his issues. And in the midst of what's going on is that Jehu is taking the throne from King Ahab. And it starts out by that they kill King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, which were both considered pretty wicked in the Bible. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just take out the king. He takes out all the king's sons, which I think it says there are about 40 of them, which may be just a round number that he had a lot of sons. But so he kills all the sons and their families so that he can, anybody who might have a claim to the throne. And I think, well, that's probably not the best example of what Wesley is trying to preach here. You know, that enlarged heart and that love for all, unless they're in your way to the throne. We know we don't want to include those people. You know, this idea of loving your neighbor, even if they are a stranger or a friend or an enemy. But in this passage, in these two verses, when Jehu comes across Jehonadab, he asks him a question. He says, is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours? And if it is, then give me your hand. And at that point, he brings him onto his chariot, and they're joined together. And what Wesley is trying to say is, in spite of the context that this passage is in spite of what else is going on, that is the key question. Is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours? Then give me your hand. And he, in fact, Wesley argues that that is the question we should imitate in our faith, even if it is complicated. And he points out that Jehu doesn't ask Jehonadab if they have the same opinion on everything. He knows that there's things that they would disagree on. The question is, where is your heart? Is it as mine is? If so, then give me your hand. And John Wesley realizes that people of faith are going to have different opinions. We might even have some different opinions right here in this room. And yet we come together on Sunday morning for a common purpose. It even uses the example of worship styles to talk about the differences that people have, that they're not the same in every church. Not everybody worships the same way. Not every service looks exactly the same. But these differences do not have to keep us from being in union with one another. And too often, we get divided by our opinions. And the thing about opinions is that often they change, don't they? As we grow and as we understand more, we may think differently than we used to. And yet, is it worth dividing ourselves over some of these opinions? Because often we realize that what we used to think, we were mistaken. I mean, take, for example, the great potato scandal of the 1500s. I mean, you all know about that great potato scandal, right? I mean, it was big in the church in Europe. Well, let me fill you in a little bit. Back in the 1500s, people in Europe, they'd hardly ever seen a potato in their life. They're not native to Europe, and so they didn't even know about potatoes if they'd ever seen one. And until some of the Europeans brought the potatoes back, the Spaniards especially, from South America. And it turns out most Europeans weren't very impressed by the potato. Did not think a whole lot of the potato. They'd never seen one before. And not only that, the potato, they didn't have much of an appetite for them. They didn't think they tasted that good. And besides, the Bible never says anything about potatoes. Therefore, the clergy started preaching that the potato was the devil's handiwork. This is all true, by the way. I'm not making this up. They were the devil's handiwork because, well, they looked funny. And in fact, they became a little bit frightened of the potato. They had kind of this gnarly appearance, and that they looked kind of like the hands of lepers. And so then they started preaching that potatoes caused leprosy. I mean, what more evil could they be? Until in the 1700s, you know, a couple hundred years later, there were a number of cold spells in Europe, and a lot of the crops failed, except for the potato. The potato was able to survive that. And so people had to set aside their opinions of the potato as the devil's handiwork because that's what they had to eat. Maybe the potato wasn't so bad after all. Maybe it was actually a gift from God. And now it has become a staple of their diet. You know, people in the church had very strong opinions about potatoes. I suspect it even divided some of them as they condemned the potato. And yet, even when the opinions are proven wrong, we become committed to our opinions, and we often let them divide us. And we'd say, if you don't believe as I believe, well, I'm not sure I can be in a relationship with you. If you don't practice your faith as I practice my faith, well, I have to question if you are really a Christian. I mean, that's sad to hear, isn't it? And yet, I have heard it too many times. You don't believe like I believe. We can't be friends. You don't practice your faith as I practice my faith. I don't know if you are really a follower of Jesus. You know, and yet, two more things that Wesley tried to make clear in this sermon. He says that there are essentials that we hold to. Opinions are things that we think, and it's all right if we disagree on those things. But there are essentials. There are things that are important to us. And you know, that's one of the criticisms that I often hear about Methodists. Well, you can believe anything and be a Methodist. You've probably heard that as well. Some of you may have bragged about that. The point is that we do have a lot of tolerance for diversity, and I think that's a good thing. I think that this idea that we're this big tent that can have lots of different opinions. But Wesley would say there are some things that are essential. In fact, in this sermon, he gives us a pretty detailed list. I'm not going to go into all of it, but he really says, is your heart right with God? That's essential. Are you earnestly seeking God's grace and truth? Are you seeking to walk in faith? That's what we're called to do. And second, he says, and do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he's not simply saying, do you believe the story? Do you believe the life, the death, the resurrection? What he's saying is Jesus revealed in your life, in how you live? That's essential. And is your faith filled with the energy of love? I like how he says that. This commandment that God has called us to love God and to love neighbor, is that lived out in your life, in your works? Are you driven by love? These things are essential for Wesley. And he spends an awful lot of time describing them in the sermon. And they are complex in trying to describe that. But his belief is that these are the things that bind us together. It is a passion in our heart to follow God, to understand how Christ can live through us, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are essential to our faith. And that's important. But the second thing that Wesley tries to make very clear in this sermon is that our opinions, those that are the non-essential, should not divide us. But that doesn't mean that they are unimportant. In fact, it is our opinions, it is the way we think and our practices that make us unique. They are very important. In fact, Wesley uses an interesting word, latitudinarianism, which I think has about 9 syllables. I counted it up. I thought, that's impressive if you can use that word in a sentence. But if what he means is that this indifference towards opinion, we aren't just indifferent towards what anybody else thinks. In fact, it's very important to try to understand and to listen to one another. And that it's not that we have no preferences in our faith, that we don't say, well, that's unimportant to me, or that those things are very important to us. That's all right to have opinions. It's just not letting them divide us. And to respect others' opinions and to listen to one another as we choose to try to love one another. And in fact, that's what Wesley says is the Catholic spirit. It's not the Catholic spirit to just say, oh, we're just going to give you great latitude to think whatever you want, and I'm not going to worry about it, and it's unimportant. It's very important. But we all know that our opinions can change and that we know we've all been wrong at some time. I heard a bishop one time, I love this. He said, I have a list of 50 things I am absolutely certain about. I think probably all of us have a list, maybe not 50 things, that we say, we know we're so certain that we're right on these things. And he said, one of those things on my list is, one of my 50 things is wrong. And the problem is, I don't know which one it is. That's true, isn't it? We all have things that we hold fast to that are probably wrong, and we just don't know it. And that's all right. We still have those things that we hold to that make us who we are. And it means that our opinions are not unimportant. We're not called to be indifferent, but we are called to love, even when we disagree. And to join Wesley in saying, if your heart is as my heart, if you love God and all humankind, then give me your hand. You know, this year at General Conference, I saw something amazing happen. A lot of amazing things. But I saw people who were seeking to live that Catholic spirit. But I specifically saw it in one event when we were adopting the social principles. Because the conference was a little bit stuck on that, and especially on a definition of marriage. And we were stuck because when they redid those social principles, it just read, a marriage is between two people of faith. And there wasn't a lot more to it than that. And and for some that were very traditional, that was just too neutral. That they needed something else, especially many of the delegates from Africa. And it could have passed. There were enough votes to just pass it as is. But that would say, you know what, some of your opinions aren't important. And so, unexpectedly, a delegate from Zambia made a motion. And she called it a double-barreled definition of marriage. And this is what the motion said. Within the church, we affirm marriage as a sacred lifelong covenant that brings two people of faith, an adult man, an adult woman of consenting age, or two adult persons of a consenting age into union with one another. And as she explained her motion, she said, this gives us that ability to speak to different regional differences. I know it seems to have two different definitions of marriage right there together and putting that together, and yet that's important. Because in previous general conferences, as we were looking at changes that we were making, there was one year where we had a motion that said, we are not of one mind on human sexuality. Trying to admit the reality that we have a big tent and there's different opinions and we're not of one mind. And it got voted down because we were too entrenched in this is what I believe to not say, I want to listen to the other person. We were so entrenched on winning instead of being honest with one another to live in that Catholic spirit that we couldn't do it. But this year at General Conference, something amazing happened. Different groups came together and said, we're going to listen to one another and we're going to name both and we're going to agree to disagree. Because being in relationship and loving one another is what's essential. Because of that, they said, we may not be of one opinion, but may we not love alike. May we not live together in unity with one another. If your heart is in Christ and my heart is in Christ, then give me your hand and we will step into the future together in that Catholic spirit where we love one another and as we grow to faith and as we build the kingdom of God.